Well, good morning and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Phil McMillan, and the first thing we need to do is prepare ourselves this morning for this morning's worship with prayer. Nothing that we can say or do is worthwhile to God unless it's done in His power. So, search your souls, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask Him for the eyes and ears of God the Holy Spirit, so that all we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to come together in freedom. A few of us here in person, and hopefully many more online, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit will use this ministry to continue leading believers to rely on Your Spirit in truth, Heavenly Father. We pray that eyes may be opened and that hearts may follow the magnificent work of Your Son, and as we have entered, so continue to walk. We pray, Heavenly Father, that all we do this morning may indeed edify this body and glorify our Lord, for it's in His name that we pray, sir. Amen. So, let's start this morning with a bit of song.
All right, would you please join us from our songbook number 142.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Brian. Let's see. Prayer requests and announcements. Hello. Okay. Prayer requests and announcements. Again, continuous prayers for Herman and Judith. Judith sent me a text earlier, said Herman is progressing well in his speech therapy. Did not give me any update on anything else going on. If I can find it here. But he did mention Fran Anderson. She had a small stroke yesterday or earlier this week and asked to be added to our prayer list. Fran Anderson. Let's see. Herman continued to do better in his speech. Please keep the prayers going. And keep Judith in those prayers for her patience and ability to support Herman in this time. And just keep praying for Herman's speech ability, that he might be able to return to our to this pulpit sooner than later, right? If you're tired of listening to me or Kit, pray harder that Herman will get back. Let's see. Or volunteer. let's see. Do please keep Kit and I in your prayers for teaching. Please keep the wise and the day households in your prayers for the youth ministry to be able to continue online and together when they're able to. Let's see. As far as I know, Cindy Edwards is still on our prayer list. I haven't heard an update from her situation, but please lift her up. And we have Johnny Thompson and family. That's Tisha's brother and Terry's uncle, and so please be in prayer for Johnny. He's been fighting cancer for a very long time. And he's in hospice care in his son's house, Bobby and Jerry Lynn. And please be in prayer for that family.
Terry's father,
excuse me. Let's see. Autumn Switzer, still fighting lung cancer. Tish, still having problems with her kidneys, although I understand that's getting better when the doctor said that it couldn't. So keep those prayers coming. The Riesley family ministry, a missionary family that we support in Mexico, magnificent family, three generations of servants of the Lord, ministering to a small town there in Mexico. Bill and Pat Riesley's daughter is a doctor there, and Grady is been doing a lot in the ministry there. And we'll continue leading that family as Pat is in very poor health. She's been having heart problems for a while, and now her kidneys are involved. And please be in prayer for Pat Riesley and Bill, and for the comfort and guidance of that family. Please keep the Riesley family in your prayers all the time for the magnificent work they do. Spreading the gospel of Christ in that small town. Let's see, spoke with Trey Bryant earlier this week. He said that the Cigar Church, a group of guys that meet at a cigar shop and talk about the Bible, are still meeting pretty much normally through all of this. And Trey's been doing this a long time, and there have been a lot of guys come and go that tried to teach predestination, or tried to teach salvation by works, or tried to teach other things, and Trey just convivially interacts with them and keeps putting the truth of the gospel and a clear understanding of the Word of God out to them. And it's a great little ministry that has overlapped. We've seen some other ministries come out of that, so. Please keep Trey and the Cigar Church in your prayers. Of course, we have an extensive prayer list. It comes out by email. Please reach out to Leslie if you aren't on that, or make a comment on the Facebook page there. I'm sure Leslie will see it and add you there from that. Let's see. Most of all, let's pray for... There's a lot going on in our country. Such a humongous backlash to the freedom that we've been given. It just boggles my mind that people would use the very freedom that we have in this country to try and tear the country down. And we need to continue praying for our country, because the solution is not political, although we certainly need to pray for political leaders that do rely on the Word of God to volunteer and to come up and all the way down here. Okay. I didn't want to knock. See? Okay. How's that?
Give it to you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Now I'm going to have to talk even louder. You moved it further away. Okay. All right. So the solution to the our nation's problem lies not in politics, though. It relies in the work of God, the Holy Spirit. It relies on believers who know the grace message of Christ, spreading that message, and having more people that God, the Holy Spirit, can work through. We grow that number of people so that our nation once again is used to spread the gospel and to keep people living in freedom and in truth. Then our nation will be preserved, and we'll be able to give our children and grandchildren a future as bright and prosperous as we've enjoyed through our lives as from being an American. Without that work of the Spirit, though, it's a bleak future for them and for the world. So please pray for revival and work to be a part of that revival by the power of His Spirit. So, the three ways to give, remember, if the website, springvalleybiblechurch.org, you can go there, and there's a contribution button at the top of the page. Click on it, and you can use PayPal to securely make a donation with your credit or debit card. Remember, you don't have to sign up for PayPal or anything. It's just a secure way that we have an interface out there for you to give through. You can mail a check. The address is also on the website at www.springvalleybiblechurch.org. And if you happen to be in the neighborhood and want to stop by here, we have a donation plate in the back. Feel free to drop off cash, check, or gold. Let's see. Okay, so with all these things in mind, let's lift these prayer requests up and before we begin our Bible study. Prayer of thanksgiving, Anel and Jay and family made it home safely. Right? Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Herman and Judith. We lift up Herman's health and his encouragement. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Judith would have all the love and patience that she's had so far, and that she would be encouraged in her soul to continue through this process with him. And we just pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, restore our pastor, that he might have the privilege of teaching your word, and that we might have the privilege of hearing you talk through him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our local assembly. We pray that your Spirit continues to work in each and every one of us here, that we might be used to spread your gospel and the walk in your Spirit that is necessary for our nation to survive. We pray, Heavenly Father, that not only would our nation be blessed, but our Savior would be glorified. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Johnny and Autumn and Tish and all those who are ill and fighting cancer on our prayer list. Heavenly Father, we just pray for the support of your Spirit and the guidance of their doctors that they might recover. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for the Reesley family ministry and for the blessing that they've been to the people of Mexico and to us for spreading the gospel on behalf of Christ through our prayers and our support. Lord, we're a part of that ministry, and we just thank you for that opportunity. We pray for Trey and the youth ministry and all those little efforts that come from each and every believer here as they seek to spread your word and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, please use this time we have to study your word, that we might learn more of our Savior, that we might be encouraged to spread that knowledge, and that we might glorify him in all that we do. For it's in his name that we pray, sir. Amen. All right, so 1 Corinthians 2, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rely on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Beautiful words. That's a reference to the Word of God, not my speaking ability, that's for sure. But it's a lovely hymn. Let's see. Last week we started taking a look at our walk, right? Walk, we saw four major words in Greek that are used to talk about our walk. Walk, of course, can mean bipedal motion, but most of the time, beyond that, it means the way that we go about our lives. We have only one life, and God wants all of it. He wants us relying on the power of His Spirit all the time. And that's the way that we walk, the manner that we walked was taught to us at the cross. We rely on the work of God. In the case of our salvation, His Son died that we might have His righteousness and have the basis of a relationship with Him. And because of our simple faith in the work of Christ, His righteousness is granted to us. That's the result. He is glorified by it. In our daily life, the same thing happens. We are given information from the Word of God, and we accept that information because He helps us understand it, and we believe it. And when we believe it and act on it and do what that information is telling us to do, it has a result in our lives. It produces the fruits of God, the Holy Spirit, namely, in our lives. And that, in turn, glorifies our Savior. And once again, we see that same cycle, and that's what we want to see in our lives all the time. And so our walk should be a reflection of that cycle. Everywhere everything we do in our lives should be to obey the Word of God through faith, and thereby glorify Him through the fruits of the Spirit. We looked at diarkomai, the first Greek word to translated as walk, and that means go through a place, pass through. And we didn't look at verses for that. Most of the time, 42 times it's used in the New Testament, and it's talking about traveling through an area, like Jesus passed through Samaria would be an instance where they use diarkomai. We did see application of that, and we'll look closer at that today. We saw it in an earlier class, right? When we studied Philippians, we saw our citizenship is not on the earth, but is in heaven. We're just passing through here. We're diarkomai as far as our lives go on earth. And we have been born again, our life is in Christ, and we are returning to our true home. When we are done here, just passing through. The second word we looked at was orthopedeo, a verb that means to walk in a straight course, and we saw it used in Galatians 2:14, translated as be straightforward in the truth of the gospel. The main one that we looked at was peripateo, the verb, and it's to walk, to make one's way, progress, to make due use of opportunities, and it's how you live. It means to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, or to pass one's life in a particular manner. And we looked at several verses with this word, and to see how it was that we were to walk or conduct our lives. We looked at Colossians 2:16. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And we looked at Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators of God and walk in love. I'm truncating here. Because we covered these all last week, I'm just reminding you and recapping for those who might not have joined us. So be imitators of God and walk in love. And we looked at 1 John 2, 1 through 6. And let's read that passage again. John 2, 1 through 6. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied that need that God, so that God can give us His righteousness. And not only for ours, but those of the whole world. Christ has paid the price for the sins of all the world. All men have and women in the world have the option of redemption because their sins have already been paid for. They've already been cured of the old sin nature. All they need is to make a faith decision to have that righteousness imputed to them. And when John says, I write these things to you that you may not sin, well, the only way that we may not sin is if we walk in faith. When we are in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and His works are alive in our life, we walk in a manner where we cannot sin until we give up that faith. We quit believing that the Word of God applies to us in some manner, and then we are in sin. But if we're going to live a sinful life at all, it has to be in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we sin, we can always come back because Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, ready to say, that one's mine. I paid for his sins and he's believed on me. And so we're restored then again and able to be used by God and not sin in our lives further. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. He's a mature believer. He's walking in the power of the Spirit and relying on and producing the fruits of God, the Holy Spirit, in his life. Has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Christ walked, as He walked. So just as Christ walked and lived in the power of God the Holy Spirit, so are we. We also looked at Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. This is the only way that we can avoid sin. Our bodies, our old sin nature is going to produce nothing but sin. And it's only through our act of faith that God the Holy Spirit can put us in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, we're not walking according to our flesh. It's our flesh that produces sin, not the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, we produce fruits. And there's no law against that. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We had to stop at a particular point last week and tried to finish up, but didn't even get all the Greek words we were going to talk about in. And I wanted to go back and look at Romans chapter 6 this week. You might want to turn there. We're going to go through the whole chapter. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And here we're seeing the dichotomy of those two walks. Either we walk in the flesh according to our own power and our own abilities and seek happiness according to this world, right? This world says you'll be happy if you make a lot of money and buy a lot of nice things and maybe even the standard of do good before your fellow men, right? Those are things that the world says happiness lies in and makes you worthwhile in this world. But those are all just things of the flesh. Even those good things that we do in the flesh. For Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the good part of that tree was our idea that we know what's good. And when the fact of the matter is, God is the only good. He's got the market. He corners the market on good. And the only place we can get any good is if we go through Him and He works through us. So we have this dichotomy of existence. Either we're going to walk in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, or we're going to walk according to our own flesh and nature. So Romans chapter 6 says, What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. I love that word in Greek, meganoito. It comes from the Genesis, right? Come into being. May it never even come into being to think this, right? This is the attitude that you have if you're saying, well, that's just me. I'm going to sin. I'm that kind of person. I'm going to drink too much, or I'm going to chase women, or I'm going to do this or that. And God's going to forgive me because He's grace. He's all about grace, and Christ has died for my sins. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to come back to God and be forgiven and spend my time in the pew and know a lot of Bible doctrine and everything's going to be great and I'm going to glorify God that way. Well, that isn't the way it works, right? We don't get to continue sinning and then say that God is great because He continues forgiving us. The idea is to stop sinning. At least stop sinning so much, right? And the only way that we can do that is that we walk in the power of the Spirit. We don't continue, and that's one of our words, keep on going, keep on walking, right? Keep on going. We don't continue in sin that grace may increase. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? This is the aforementioned overlap, I promise, some of you in the earlier class. We were looking at this difference between being alive and being dead. And we saw a verse in Philippians chapter 3 where he's referring to resurrection as our renewal of life when we walk in the Spirit. We're being resurrected from this dead fleshly nature when we walk in the Spirit, and we're walking according to our true citizenship, and we're walking according to the power of God here in the devil's world. So, how shall we who died to sin still live in sin? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Well, for those who teach that baptism is a condition of salvation, that if you're not dunked, you're not saved, how would they characterize this baptism of death here? Baptizo is a Greek verb that has been transliterated into a word that we use in English. To be baptized is to be identified with something. And instead of translating this word, identified with Christ, they just used that Greek word, baptizo, turned into an English word. And in some cases, there are specific uses of this identification, a ceremony of identification, that they felt the need to keep that original idea of the Greek word, baptizo, by showing that use of it, by the Greek word baptizo, instead of translating it as to identify with. Especially in this verse, we really need to translate that word and not just transliterate it and use the English version of that Greek word and say, or do you not know that those who have been identified with Christ have been identified with His death? Okay? Because Christ died, that was the death we deserved. We deserved that death that Christ got on the cross. And because we are identified with Christ, we're identified with that death. And so our fleshly nature died on that cross with Christ. And it's only our fleshly nature that's going to produce sin, right? So, because we have been identified with Christ, our fleshly nature has died with Him. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through that identification into death. Why? In order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. There's our objective. That's what our walk is supposed to be. The newness of life, right? We're not supposed to be part of this old dead world anymore. We're supposed to be part of a new life that Christ has given us. And through the glory of the Father, that's God the Holy Spirit given to us, right? He's here to glorify Christ, and Christ glorifies the Father. All the Godhead is glorified when you give up this world, quit clinging to this world and the definitions of happiness and walking and living by the definition of this world, and instead look at it from God's perspective. Look at it from the fact that you're not a citizen of this world, you're a citizen of heaven. And your job is to have relationship and with Christ, with God through Christ, and to glorify Him through the Spirit. So that we too might walk in the newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, and we have, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Again, all right, we'll go ahead and finish this sentence here. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him so that our body of sin might be done away with. It's out of here. Powerless. Finished. Done away with so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. You're acquitted. You're liberated. You no longer have sin. It's because you are associated with the death of Christ. Again, just as we saw in Philippians chapter 3 in our other class, we see resurrection used, and it's not talking about when our body rises again after our death. It's talking about the fact that we're dead in this world, if we're a part of this world. And when we walk in the newness of life, we're resurrected. We're brought from dead to life, right? That's what resurrection is. We are in this flesh dead, and in the Spirit we are alive. There's resurrection. And that's the resurrection that He's talking about here. Not about the future event, which is surely going to happen, but the resurrection that you can hope to attain each and every day of your life right now. So, certainly we will be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him. That's our old sin nature. Died on the cross with Him, that our body of sin might be abolished, acquitted, or done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Remember, as it says in Galatians, for he who has died is freed from sin. You don't have to be a slave to this world's standards of living. You don't have to be a slave to this world's standards of success. You are no longer part of this world. You've been resurrected and asked to walk in life. Now, if we have died with Christ, and we have, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. That's the real life resurrection of Christ, raised from the dead. And He's never gonna die again. He's never ever gonna be associated with the sin that was ours that He paid for on the cross. Death is no longer master over Him. No death for Him. And not that He could die again as He died on the cross, but that He should ever be associated with our unrighteousness again. He did that work once and for all. It's never going to be necessary again. It is a complete work. So death is no longer is master over Christ. For the death that he died, Christ died, he died to sin once for all, for everybody. He did it once. He took care of every human soul ever to be in existence. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. Well, if we're identified to Christ, keep the train of thought here, we're all identified with Christ. Christ died, we died. Christ was resurrected, we're to be resurrected. Christ now lives to God, lives with God and to God. And that's our objective too in Christ, to live to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I often just blow right through where it says Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Phyllis Music emailed me and asked me about that, though. Because there really is a difference here in that word order, right? And it's usually about the relationship. When we say Jesus Christ, right, Jesus was the name of the humanity of the Messiah, Christ, right? And when we say Christ Jesus, we say the Messiah is it first, and so it puts that messianic job from eternity past as the priority in the person of Christ, right? So all of a sudden emphasizing here Christ Jesus, he's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ was preordained to be the Messiah, and the Messiah's job was to save us all, right? So it's when we reverse that name word order, we're talking about the fact that God knew from eternity past what he was going to do to redeem us. And Christ knew from eternity past that he was going to die that death on the cross to save us all. So, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Do not let it happen. Okay, but the beginning, may it never be, may it never happen, may it never come into existence. Don't let it come into existence. You have a simple faith process. Just as you were saved, you walk. We're going to walk in the newness of life. We're going to do it by faith. We're going to know that God is teaching us His Word for a reason. God the Holy Spirit makes that reason clear to us. We believe it, and we act on it. We do it. We fulfill it by God's power, and we see the results of it when we see His fruits in our life. For instance, say you you're worried about dying, and that worry weighs on your soul. Worry is a lack of faith, right? And it's going to weigh on your soul, and it's going to cause you pain and suffering. That's the result of the sin, right? So you look to the Word of God, say you pick up your Bible and you see a verse and you're reminded that Jesus Christ has paid for your sin and that you will live for all eternity in the presence of God and that you belong not to this world but to heaven. And if you should die, all it means is you're going to be in the presence of Christ. And when you believe that, it's going to calm your soul. It's going to take away that sin's result in your life, and it's going to give you peace. It's going to give you happiness. It's going to give you comfort to overcome what the flesh has brought about in your life to hurt you. That's the result it has in your life. And when you get that result in your life, here in the midst of the devil's world, where everybody's telling you, you're gonna die, be afraid. Each and every day we're told that on the news, 3 or 4 times. It's gonna kill you if you don't do this. If you don't wear a mask, if you don't social distance, you're gonna die, we're all gonna die because you were selfish, right? We're told this stuff all the time. It's gonna weigh on our soul if we don't keep an eye on the fact that we are not of this world. God, the creator of this universe, individually saved each and every one of you through the work of his son on the cross. And that same God holds your little life in his hand. And there's nothing going to happen to you that he doesn't allow. And if he allows you to die by a bus or by coronavirus or by any other means, it all depends on your relationship with him. If you've believed in his son, you're home. If you continue walking in the newness of life, you can see death coming a mile away, or it can sneak up on you like a bus. But it's not going to scare you. It's not going to worry you. Fear, worry, those are results of the flesh. They are not results of the spirit. Don't live your life in fear. Walk in the newness of life. So, back to verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, that your members as instruments and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Well, your members are simply what your production value, right? If you've got two good hands, you can work, earn a living, that kind of thing, right? So when we talk about the members, your limbs, your legs, your brain, all the parts of your body, all of these things are going to work in this newness of life, not in this world of death, okay? If you're simply obeying your lusts, your body is going to do what your lust desires, right? And it's going to produce the fruits of the flesh. If we instead, by faith, present ourselves to God, remember that we are alive in God and walk in the newness of life, then our members will be used. All that we are is going to be used for the righteousness of God. We're going to represent the righteousness of God when we walk in His Son, right? The righteousness of God is what Christ has given us. And as we walk in the righteousness of God, we glorify God. So, continuing on in 14, for sin shall not be a master over you. And for you are not under law, but under grace. Okay? Sin is a master over you if you are trying to overcome sin by your own efforts. We see this in any standard of work that we have before God. If we say, anytime I sin, I have to confess, or I have to walk an aisle, or I have to pray or do anything to gain my relationship back with Christ, then you've quickly become a slave to that work. If you really care about your relationship with God, you're going to, every time you see yourself sin, you're going to have to do that ritual. You're going to have to do that thing. And that thing is going to rule your life. And you're not going to be ruled by the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to be ruled by that thing that you have to do to get back into fellowship with God. Whereas if you're under grace, you realize that God has done all the work and it's your simple faith that you claim it by, then what you're going to have is a life of peace. Not jumping through hoops all the time. You're not, but if you're trying to overcome sin by your own efforts, that sin's going to beat you down. Your own efforts are never going to be able to keep up with it. So, that's the advantage of being under grace. What then? shall we, Romans 6:15, okay, 6:15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Don't let the thought come into existence. Okay? And that's right where he came in. Are we gonna sin because we're not under law but under grace? So we're gonna say, okay, I'm under grace. I don't have a rule to follow, so I can do anything in the flesh and it's okay. Right? And that's the wrong idea too. Just as we can't go pleasing God by the works of our idea of good, we can't simply just do whatever we want to in following the appetites of our lust patterns in our lives and say, okay, God forgives me and it's okay, right? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are a slave of the one whom you obey, either of sin, resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness? Again, we're not talking about physical death, where you, if you sin, you die, right? And if you obey, you're righteous, or you're going to get righteous when you go to heaven. It's talking about our walk still, right? If we are in sin, what is sin? Anything that's not of faith is sin, right? So either we're of sin, and the result of that is that we're walking in this fleshly nature which is dead, or we're obeying God and walking by the power of Spirit and faith, and that's the righteousness of God shining forth in this world. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were now committed, to that form of teaching to which you were committed. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been, and what is that form of teaching to which you have been committed? I'm going to say it one more time. Rely in faith and let God do the work, whether it be for salvation or for your daily walk. Became obedient from the heart and form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Just as slaves, his master says jump, the slave says how high, the master says do this, the slave performs that duty, right? And that's our rule before God. God's rule is have faith in Him and listen to the Spirit as He talks to you through the study of the Word and execute that Word in your life by the power of the Spirit produces fruits. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. You don't want to understand it just spiritually. You want to see a human thing that you can illustration so that you can get a grasp on it. The weakness of your flesh wants to see it empirically, right? Wants to understand it rationally. Doesn't want to just say, "Okay, God, you're right." Okay, and so he puts it in human terms and tells them, "You're a slave. Do what God tells you because you're His slave. But for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in further righteousness." That further righteousness is called sanctification. We are learning each and every day in the sanctification process how greater to rely on God the Holy Spirit. How to rely on God the Holy Spirit in more areas of our life. How to glorify Christ in greater, in more ways in our lives. So, just as you present yourself as a slave to God, it's going to give you, lawlessness, it results in further lawlessness. Righteousness is going to result in presenting yourself as a slave to righteousness is going to result in more righteousness, that sanctification process. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What does that mean, you were free in regard to righteousness? Well, you had no righteousness. Your righteousness was what you decided it was, right? That's a lot of freedom in righteousness there, when you get to make up the rules. You were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. The only thing your flesh nature is going to produce is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. Again, we're getting this dichotomy of living and dying here on earth, right? Sanctification is eternal life in that idea that we're not dead here in the devil's world. We're alive here in the devil's world. We're showing the eternal life that Christ has given us at salvation to this world. Okay? So, it's not saying that sanctification brings about eternal life. And that's the point I want to make in this distinction, is that you're not doing your sanctification any more than you did your justification. Okay? And that's the imputing of God's righteousness to you. The greater righteousness that you get in the sanctification is not earning eternal life, it's representing the eternal life you have in your walk here in the devil's world. And for the wages of sin is death. All that this life can give you is death, because all this life can offer you, all you're going to produce in this life is sin. And what do you get for your sin? You get paid in full with death. But the free gift of God didn't have to work at all. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have that eternal life, and we want to demonstrate that eternal life right now. Eternal, right? From the point you became a believer, forevermore. That subset includes while you're still alive as a believer. You have eternal life already, right? It's yours. When you have a permanent change of station and you leave this fleshly body and go to heaven, it's still the same life. It's the one Christ gave you when you said, I believe. And that's the life we want to see here in the devil's world. That is a representation of God's righteousness here in the devil's world. And this is our objective in our walk. We want to walk according to that righteousness in the newness of life, not walk according to the standard of the devil's world. Well, I'm glad I didn't try to sneak that in 5 minutes at the end of the last class. I have a little more to talk about with in regard to our walk, and we're going to talk about that next Sunday. I'm going to give you Kit said. He said you owed him 6 minutes. I'm going to contribute another 2.5 to that, and. One of these days I'm going to get that last chapter in on you. Don't be mad at me then. Thank you all for listening to me this morning. It's been my pleasure, and I hope that you'll join us Wednesday night. Kit will continue his series in Judges, and I'll be back next Sunday morning for Philippians, maybe the end of Philippians in the early class, and we'll continue talking about our walk in the second one. Yes, ma'am?
I'd like you to explain that to keep the orderly of the comments, there could be some comments that might have to go through the authorization first, we request the right to refrain from any offensive comments.
Oh, are we vetting them now?
Do I understand why some comment is?
Yes. Well. the whole story is I got trolled last week, and somebody got on the comment section and said some inappropriate things. And that's, I guess, the cost of being on the internet. And we reserve the right to delete you, block you, or do whatever we feel we need to keep the public image of our church above board. And we're never going to censor you if you ask a question, and we will answer it. You can ask the toughest question you can come up with, and we'll be happy to answer it. But calling me names is not going to stay on the internet. It's just going to get deleted. Okay. Thanks for bringing that up. And it gives Julie one more thing to do, and Julie does not need one more thing to do, I'm telling you. Okay. Well, let's close with a word of prayer today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace, for your magnificent grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are born in the devil's world, and we have nothing to give you but the product of our sin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious plan, which has bought us from that slave market of sin, that has brought us to a newness of life. Heavenly Father, how abundant it is to know that we can rely on thee, and that you hold us in the palm of your hand. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings those assurances give us. We pray our faith may demonstrate it in our lives, and that all may see your righteousness because of that faith. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would represent our Lord and Savior in our daily walk, and that we will walk in life that all may see. We ask these things to his glory. In Christ's name, amen.